Steve McMahon, the chairman of the Prison Officers Vocational Branch, is on the line. G'day, Steve.
G'day, Ray. How are you?
Not bad. Now, I've been down there. I've been to Long Bay. I've been to out to Park Lee. I've been to Silverwater. I see what your officers have to put up with. It's a job I couldn't possibly do. I think it's tougher than any other job in public service. Any other job.
I'd probably have to agree with that. And just before we get into the nitty-gritty of it, I'd like to thank you for those strong comments of support yesterday that you put to air for the, you know, the very real and dangerous job that prison officers do for the New South Wales public.
Okay. What's typified here, and I'll protect the identities, and these people are brave. They've supplied me with their details, but, you know, obviously I'll protect them. But they're saying that, you know, a strong hand was required after what happened on Saturday and Sunday, but they feel a bit like they're hamstrung down there. Is that what you've found?
Varying degrees. You know, obviously culture and policies change. A lot of it's directed by government, and so they, you know, they install the people that that they think will deliver their policies. And I think a lot of this comes back to government and a lot of the external agencies that look over what we do every day. The scrutiny that we receive from external agencies is very high.
And well, you're like the coppers. You mean the Ombudsman and other investigations?
The Ombudsman, for one. Obviously, ICAC has a very good look at us as well. And, you know, we're open to all sorts of investigations, internal, and, of course, if there's a matter that may be criminally related, of course, New South Wales Police have got to do their job. And we welcome that open, transparent approach to doing business. But you're absolutely right. When policies or legislation's interpreted in such a way that ties our hands, i.e. the ability for us to strip search thoroughly and have a look into crevices, like, you know, that's down to an interpretation. We interpret it that we should be able to do that, but of course the local policy is put in place where, you know, we used to require the inmates to do certain things. We're not allowed to do that because it's deemed to be demeaning to them. And that comes from external agencies making complaints. And the Ombudsman is one of those external agencies that make those complaints.
This is very important, Stephen. I'm talking to the chairman of the Prison Officers Vocational Branch, Stephen McMahon. Now, let me go back, and whether you agree or not, I don't know. I thought when John Hatzidakos was in charge as Attorney General, we had a really strong system, and then we had John Robertson in charge under the previous Labor government. We had Ron Woodham there, making sure that people behaved themselves. I'm not talking just about the prison, the prisoners themselves, but everyone in the system. It appears to me that things have certainly changed and the culture has changed under Mr. Smith, who's now gone, and Mr. Severin, who replaced Mr. Woodham. But this specific thing, people need to understand, limiting strip searches. And what I've been told by one of your colleagues is that there's a limit. We can't look in body files, crevices, you called it. Now, how the bloody hell do you find out whether a bloke's got a toothbrush that he sharpened to stab someone if you can't do your damn job?
But in those circumstances, it makes it virtually impossible for us to find those things. And one of the worst things that they'll secrete in that area will be a syringe. They'll cut a syringe down and they'll secrete that. And that, of course, is a major concern. It's a health risk not only to the inmates, but it's a weapon that is quite easily used against prison officers. And we've been having a number of discussions. We've tried to have that decision reversed and get legislation changed, because that's where people seem to think it has to go, to give us that authority to have a much closer look.
How long have you been trying to get that?
Basically since the day after that policy changed.
And when did this policy change, Stephen?
Policy changed earlier on this year.
So under Mr. Severin?
It definitely changed under Mr. Severin, yeah.
Well, mate, please, in future, just give me a call, mate. I mean, I can't have your men and women trying to do their job in handcuffs.
No, that's a fair analogy, yeah.
I mean, gee whiz, mate. I mean, a call to the Premier is required here. The Premier's a really, really, you know, fix-it sort of bloke. He fixed the bail laws, and he needs to fix this yesterday, not tomorrow. Just bizarre that you... I mean... Because what it's lacking in dignity. Well, I'm afraid that sticking a needle in your, in your crevice or a toothbrush up your bum's also lacking in dignity, but it can also cause some rather severe damage to the officers.
Yeah, Look, because we're not asking for the right to be able to physically remove those things ourselves. We just want the right to be able to have a look and ask the inmate then to remove them.
I think that would be preferable to you actually move. You know, I think that's a very sensible alternative, but you need to know if it's there.
Yes, and that's where the line's been drawn at the moment. It makes it very difficult for us to discover that it is there.
See, one of the things that I ascertained when I went down there and spent a couple of days there talking to your men and women, and tell me, the blokes that go in, you know, when things get a bit, you know, the riot type people, they go in, yep. Right? Okay, and they're there, and you know, there appeared to be a certain fear factor, you know, harnessed with respect when these fellows were around, because they knew if they got involved, there was going to be a bit of drama. I'm told by your officers that, you know, a bit of that was needed on Saturday and Sunday to assert control back over the prisoners, to say, hang on a sec, we're not letting the inmates run this asylum, we're running it. But I'm told that head office intervened and said, no, we're not going to do that. We're going to deal with this by counselling, or we're going to get some psychologists down there to see whether they're feeling happy about themselves. Is that the sort of culture we're talking about, Steve?
Look, I think what's happened is that there's a propensity to move away from dealing with things swiftly, and there's been... The policy's always been there that you negotiate first and then act.
Yeah, sure.
There's certainly a sense amongst the whole system that you know, the softly approach is there, and it's been coming for a number of years. I can't really unfairly lay that at Peter Severin's feet. I think that's been government policy for some time. And
yeah, but we had a change of government.
Yeah, well, I'm not going to sing the Labor government's praise on anything at this point in time. To deal with corrections anyway.
But you're not going to tell... But please don't tell me this. We've got a Conservative government, OK? A Conservative government in control. You're not going to tell me that the Conservative government is softer than Labor government in terms of dealing with these, you know, people inside jails, are you?
No. And I think that we've had a change in minister, and to be fair on Mr. Hazzard,
yeah.
He's just now... getting a good grasp on it, and he is making great inroads into making the changes that we're seeking. And
all right, okay.
I can't overly praise him, but I will say quite clearly that the undertaking he's given me, he has delivered on the things that he said he would do.
Okay.
So,
and what about this strip search? Is he concerned about that?
Well, that's we're limited with our time with the minister, and that's one of those things that down to me. I haven't raised that with him personally.
Well, can I please raise it with him the next time I talk to him? Because
absolutely.
I can't believe that your people get up and go to work, or you know, get there for night shift, and they can't actually determine their own safety by strip searches of people they suspect have a weapon secreted on their body. I can't understand. You know, how that can be brought down to some human right or dignity when the reality is that a prison officer could be killed.
Well, external agencies have a big sway when it comes to...
Well, what we need is legislation to put the ombudsman back in his box. That's what we need.
That'd be nice.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I get the same feeling by talking to police officers that, you know, we don't want lunatics inside jails, both on one side of the wire and on the other side of the wire, Steve, but we can't have hard-working men and women who get half the pay they're entitled to for the job they do being treated like offal by the people who are actually the offal, and that's the prisoners.
Yeah, and I always say that, you know, that the department and the government have to provide us with the necessary tools to do the job, and in some respects, this is a case where they haven't provided us with all the tools that we need to do the work.
Well, quite simply, what should have happened on either Saturday or Sunday, when negotiation and arbitration didn't work, well, then what should have happened is, I'm not talking about, you know, getting the rubber hose out or anything like that, so please, for people listening, I'm not suggesting that. I'm talking about the authority being asserted by the people in control, being the prison officers, to take control of the prison again and let the people know inside the prison, because from what I understand, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, your officers, and I spoke to them about it, there's a level of cooperation between officers and prisoners, and the bulk of prisoners seem to comply because they know if their life is made easier, life is easier for everyone.
Yep.
But there are people who wish to take on authority, and therefore they need to be dealt with to make sure they realise they're not at a holiday camp, they're actually in jail for a crime, and they'll do as they're damn well told.
Yeah. Look, this incident in Goulburn highlights that exact fact, that there are a small number of inmates, and including in that yard, it was incited by a very small number.
Yeah.
We do have a number of tools at our disposal, and I should square up on those, or not square up on the guys, but make it very clear that the officers that responded down there and actually quelled the incident, majority of those officers were jail staff. There were around four operation staff from the emergency unit that were on site, and they assisted. They were involved in that. But the majority of the people responding to these incidents in the jails are the actual staff that walk the beat in the jail on a daily basis.
What do you call those four officers? You said operational. What are they technically known as?
They're the special operations group.
Special operations.
Yeah.
A bit like the Public Order and Riot Squad with police. I mean, they have, you know, special powers and authority when things get a bit hairy, and they're armed, obviously.
Well, not when we go into the jail. We have no weapons within the jail. We do have batons in those circumstances, and gas that
you deploy. We use
As needed, yeah.
When, do they ever get armed?
Not with firearms on the ground, no. Not unless it's a...
What about blokes in towers?
The towers are armed.
Yeah.
We have a number of protocols that are put in place there.
Right.
And the towers in Goulburn are manned and armed.
Well, see, one of the things here, Stephen, we accept that the officers on the ground handled it absolutely outstandingly, but what I'm talking about is, once control is taken again and people are into lockdown, we need to assert the authority there, and that's where your officers tell me it's sadly lacking. And not from management at the jail, but from head office, that, you know, when they want to go to the next step and say, right, these are the protocols we need to put in place to assert our authority over the prisoners who've misbehaved, identify them, deal with them. But no, word came back from head office, look, we probably need to send a team of psychologists down there, and we need to find out what's making these people angry. They're angry because they're mad, and I don't mean mad and cranky, they're MAD.
Well, certainly the people that incited it were not doing it for any other reason other than being just obnoxious, in my view.
Well, they're cuckoo.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, we accept that a percentage of people coming out of jail will go to minimum security and they'll be rehabilitated and hopefully won't reoffend. But there are people, old lags that have been in there, Steve, and will be there for a long, long time. And there's a new age, you know, crims, be they of Middle Eastern appearance, be they Pacific Islanders with links to outlaw motorcycle gang or Asian drug importers or just good old-fashioned Australian crooks who are bad people, and they're going to be bad people for the rest of their lives.
Well, there's always a few of those, and there's a number of them that just like to cause trouble for the sake of causing it while they're there, and that makes it very difficult for everybody, including the other inmates.
Okay. All right. Is the situation calm now at Goulburn?
I would say the situation's still reasonably tense around those yards. It was one of those things that started for no good reason. It was just a display of very bad behaviour. You know, every officer across New South Wales goes to work with a certain understanding that that type of thing can occur at a moment's notice, and in some cases without notice. And it really highlights the nature of the business that we're in.
It's a shocking business sometimes. And Steve, if we can open the lines of communication between you and me, I sing the praises of police, of ambulance paramedics, and of fire and rescue, and of your officers quite often, and we can't have them treated in this fashion. Just one final thing, because we read about the things they're armed with, the implements that are handmade inside the prison. Has there been a search conducted to make sure no one else has got something that can kill a prison officer inside that jail? We had, you know, a lockdown, and we had the prison cell searched, and I know we can't, do the strip searching at the moment. Hopefully that'll change, but has there been a search to make sure they don't have materials in there or in their cell?
Well, the status of the searching is something that I'm not completely over the top of, but there were searches conducted, and just to be clear, we can do strip searches, but we can't go to that extreme level.
Well, mate, I can use a very coarse analogy.
Yeah.
But you're either pregnant or you're not.
Well,
you can't be half pregnant. You can't half do a strip search. You either do a strip search or you don't.
No, and the reality of it is that if they secrete something into a very private area like that, we can't find it. So no, we're not getting to the bottom of that. But the searching of that centre, that's something that's related to the security, and I haven't been read into it, and I probably wouldn't comment as to what the status of it is, had I been read into it as well. You know, with those weapons there, it reminds me of the simple fact that this government brought about some fairly monumental changes to the workers' compensation. And if I can ask for indulgence for a moment, we've commenced some communications with the government about having an exemption given to the prison officers. The type of injuries that we can sustain can be quite extreme, and the workers' compensation provided under the amended legislation doesn't give us a great deal of support when we're injured on the job. Mm-hmm. We don't have anything that is anywhere near like what New South Wales Police have in their death and disability scheme, nor do we really expect to get that overnight, but we would like to have the benefit of a reasonable and just workers' compensation scheme, which we don't have at the moment. So we're seeking some exemptions to the current legislation and a bit of a rollback to what we had prior to their changes in 2012. So that's one of our big fights at the moment. Speaking of tools to do our job, we're faced with shivs and canned food being thrown at us when we deal with these incidents. Mm. And those type of injuries can be quite extreme and leave an officer off work for an extended period of time.
Okay, well, that's a battle that I'll certainly support. Can I just read this to you? And I can't identify the people involved.
Yes.
This lady has written to me, her husband's a senior officer for corrections. Mm. Ray, this is the tip of the iceberg. They're so short of officers, they have to strip post all the time because there are always lots of officers sick every day. There's no overtime. They have to call in casuals, and they're only allowed a certain amount of hours because of budget restrictions. A lot of these officers really do not know and don't care. They're casuals. They get in there and they simply are getting the money and getting out of the place. My husband's a 25-year veteran, and people need to know about the shortage of the staff as well as everything else we have to deal with. Is that a fair...
She makes a very, very good point there. We are struck with that. It's an industry where the common thing is the flu. We work outdoors majority of the time. Mm. Flu during winter is a major contributor to sick leave amongst our members. We actually believe that with the changes to the workers' compensation legislation, a lot of workers' compensation is hidden in our sick leave. Mm. Well, the argument about staff goes back around 6 years. This government has well contributed to it. We had the closure of three jails, Parramatta, Kirkconnell and Berrima, under this government, and then they backed that up with the downsizing of Grafton. They geared the system to hold around 9,400 inmates, they were saying at the time. There's been some jiggling and some two-outing of cells, which takes us to probably around 10,800 plus a few. But in the meantime, there was also a reduction in the number of officers on the ground, and, with cuts at just about every centre, including centres like Goulburn. Goulburn lost around 10 staff members off the ground, which, as you can imagine, after having been there yourself, 10 doesn't sound like a big figure, but when you walk through there and have a look at the number of inmates we deal with, the type of situation that comes from nowhere, like it did on Saturday, 10 is a big figure, and there's a very real concern amongst the partners of prison officers that we are facing some very bad times with staff numbers. We've been, for the last 18 months, I've been in a constant battle with the department to make sure that they fill vacancies as they occur. And for the members listening, I can say that we've achieved to get around 75% of those vacancies filled, and the department are undertaking recruitment, but unfortunately for us, they continue with this crazy idea of recruiting only casual officers. And
well, that's what she mentions here.
And what we need is full-time recruitment of staff who are dedicated and and to bring in a lot of young people. One of the comments made today recently by a member is that we're not getting younger people into the job. We're getting people come on as casuals who want to be permanently employed, but because they're young, they can't get permanent employment, they want to move on. And it's a real constant argument between me and the various HR sections within the department to fill all the vacancies and to do it in a timely fashion. Some headway has been made, but I haven't stopped with that argument yet, and I continue to push to have all those spots filled.
Well, let's stay in contact, okay?
Will do, Ray. I appreciate that.
Thank you. Chairman of the Prison Officers Vocational Branch, Steve McMahon.